The search for the fugitive begins. Elsie Maynard, overcome with anguish, faints and is carried by Colonel Fairfax to the house of Sergeant Merrill. 2 days later, 2 days spent in searching for the prisoner to no avail, and as we return to Tower Green, in the moonlight, we can see the yeomen of the guard together with Dame Carruthers and other womenfolk.
Jests of Hugh Ambrose. Number 7,863. the poor wit and the rich counselor. A certain poor wit, being an hungered, did meet a well-fed counselor.
Merry fool, quoth the counselor, whither away?
In truth, said the poor wag, in that I have eaten naught these 2 days, I do wither away, and that right rapidly. The counselor laughed hugely and gave him a sausage. The counselor was easier to please than my new master, the lieutenant. I would like to take post under that counselor. It is but melancholy, mumming, when poor, heartbroken, jilted Jack Point must needs turn to Hugh Ambrose for original light humor.
Ah, Master Point.
Ah, friend jailer. Jailer that wast. Jailer that never shall be more. Jailer that jailed not, or that jailed, if jailer did so unjailer that was but jerry jailing, or jailing in joke, though no joke to him, who by unjailer like jailing did so jeopardize his jailership.
Ooh.
Come, take heart, smile, laugh, wink, twinkle, thou tormentor that tormentest none, thou racker that racketst not, thou pincher out of place, come, take heart and be merry as I am. As I am.
Aye, it's well for thee to laugh. Thou hast a good post, and there's cause to be merry.
Cause? Have we not all cause? Is not the world a big butt of humor into which all who will may drive a gimlet? See, I am a salaried wit. And is there aught in nature more ridiculous? A poor, dull, heartbroken man must needs be merry, or he will be whipped, who must rejoice, lest he starve, who must jest you, jibe you, quip you, crank you, rack you, riddle you, from hour to hour, from day to day, from year to year, lest he dwindle, perish, starve, pine, and die. Why? When there's naught else to laugh at, I laugh at myself till I ache for it.
Yet I have often thought that a jester's calling would suit me to a hair.
Thee? Would sue to thee, thou death's head and crossbones?
Aye, I have a pretty wit, a light, airy, joysome wit, spiced with anecdotes of prison cells and the torture chamber. Oh, a very delicate wit. I've tried it on many a prisoner, and there have been some who smiled. Now, it is not easy to make a prisoner smile. And it should not be difficult to be a good jester, seeing that thou art one.
Difficult? Nothing easier. Nothing easier. Attend, and I will prove it to thee.
Though a private buffoon is a light-hearted loon, if you listen to popular rumor, from the morn to the night he's so joyous and bright, and he bubbles with wit and good humor. He's so quaint and so terse with imprudent inversion, though people forgive his transgression. There are one or two rules that all family fools must observe if they love their profession. There are one or two rules, half a dozen maybe, that all family fools of whatever degree must observe if they love their profession. If you wish to succeed as a jester, you'll need to consider each person's auricular. What is or for be would quite scandalize, see if Ossie is so very particular. And he may be dull, and his very thick skull is as empty a brains as a ladle. While F is F sharp, and will cry with a carp, that he's known your best joke from his cradle. When your humor they flout, you can't let yourself go, and it does put you out when a person says, oh, I've known that old joke from my cradle. If your master is surly from getting up early and tempers are short in the morning, an inopportune joke is enough to provoke him to give you at once a month's warning, then if you refrain, he is at you again, for he likes to get value for money. He'll ask then and there, with an insolent stare, if you know that you're paid to be funny. Oh, it adds to the task of a merry man's place when his principal asks with a scowl on his face, if you know that you're paid to be funny. comes a bishop, maybe you're a solemn deity. Oh, beware of his anger provoking. Better not put his hair and stick pins in his chair. He don't understand practical joking. If the jest that you crack have an orthodox smack, you may get a bland smile from those sages. But should they by chance be imported from France, half a crown is stopped out of your wages. It's a general rule that your zeal it may quench. If the family fool tells a joke that's too French, half a crown is stopped out of your wages. For your head it may rack with a bilious attack, and your senses with toothache you're losing. Do me mopey and flat, they don't fine you for that if you're properly quaint and amusing. Though your wife ran away with a soldier that day and took with her your trifle of money, bless your heart, they don't mind. They're exceedingly kind. They don't blame you so long as you're funny. It's a comfort to feel that your partnership fit. Though you suffer a deal, they don't mind it a bit. They don't blame you so long as you're funny.
And so thou wouldst be a jester, eh? Now listen. My sweetheart, Elsie Maynard, was secretly wed to this Fairfax half an hour ere he escaped.
She did well.
She did nothing of the kind, so hold thy peace and prepend. Now while he liveth, she is dead to me and I to her. And so my gibes and jokes notwithstanding, I am the saddest and the sorriest dog in England.
Thou art a very dull dog indeed.
Now, if thou wilt swear that thou did shoot this Fairfax while he was trying to swim across the river, It needs but the discharge of an arquebus on a dark night, and that he sank and was seen no more. I'll make thee the very archbishop of jesters, and that in 2 days' time. Now, what sayest thou?
I am to lie?
Heartily! But thy lie must be a lie of circumstance, which I will support with the testimony of eyes, ear, and tongue.
And thou wilt qualify me as a jester?
As a jester among jesters. I will teach thee all my original songs, my self-constructed riddles, my own ingenious paradoxes. Nay, more, I will reveal to thee the source whence I get them. Now, what sayest thou?
Why, if it be but a lie thou wantest of me, I hold it cheap enough, and I say yes, it is a bargain.
In the hall they both agree, all as we do agree, do we secure thy solemn deed, to prevent all elemental.
You and Elsie are to call with a story grim and gory.
I despair that die and all, I declare to, not as swear to.
I despair to,
I declare to,
I despair to,
I declare to,
I despair to,
I declare to,
I despair to.
Tell a tale of cock and bull, for God lives in detail full. Tell tremendous, fairly fairness, what a tale of cock and bull.
In return for your past, I am making undertaking to instruct me in the art of the raising, when the raising of a jester, just in free proposition, high ambition.
And a lively one I'll be, like a wagging, never flagging.
Wake a wagging, never flagging.
Tell a tale of cock and bull, all the ways in detail. Here's your tremendous, fairly fairness, what a tale of cock and bull.
Hunt it in the cock,
what a tale of bull.
Hunt it in the cock,
what a tale of bull.
Hunt it in the cock and bull, cock and bull, cock and bull. Hand in hand, hunt it in the cock and bull.
Two days gone, and no news of poor Fairfax. Oh, the dotes. They seek him everywhere, save within a dozen yards of his dungeon. So, I am free. Free, but for the cursed haste with which I hurried headlong into the bonds of matrimony with heaven knows whom. As far as I remember, she should have been young. But even had not her face been concealed by her kerchief, I doubt whether in my then plight I should have taken much note of her. Free. Oh, the tower bonds were but a thread of silk compared with these conjugal fetters which I, fool that I was, placed upon mine own hands. From the one I broke readily enough. How to break the other?
Free, from his fetters grim, free to depart, free both in life and limb, in all but heart, bound to an unknown bride for good and ill. Ah, is not one so tied, a prisoner still, a prisoner still. Ah, is not one so tied, a prisoner still. Free yet in fetters held, till his last hour, gyves that no smith can weld, no rust devour. Although a monarch's hand had set him free, of all the captive band, the saddest he, the saddest he. Of all the captive band, the saddest, saddest he.
Sergeant Merrill.
Sir.
And how fares thy pretty charge, Elsie Maynard?
Well enough, sir. She's quite strong again and leaves us tonight.
Thanks to Dame Carruthers' kind nursing, eh?
Aye, deuce take the old witch. Ah, it was but a sorry trick you played me, sir, to bring the fainting girl to me. It gave the old lady an excuse for taking up her quarters in my house, and for the last 2 years I've shunned her like the plague. Another day of it and she would have married me. Good Lord, here she is again. Eileen, go.
Nay, Sergeant Merrill, don't go. I have something of grave import to say to thee.
It's coming.
In faith, I'm not wanted here.
Nay, Master Leonard, I've naught to say to thy father that his son may not hear.
True. I'm one of the family. I had forgotten.
Tis about this Elsie Maynard. A pretty girl, Master Leonard.
Aye, fair as a peach blossom. What then?
She hath a liking for thee, or I mistake not.
With all my heart. She's as dainty a little maid as you'll find in a midsummer day's march.
Then be warned in time, and give not thy heart to her. Oh, I know what it is to give my heart to one who will have none of it.
Aye, she knows all about that. And why is my boy to take heed of her? She's a good girl, Dame Carruthers.
Good enough for aught I know. But she's no girl. She's a married woman.
A married woman? Tush, old lady. She's promised to Jack Point, the lieutenant's new jester.
Tush in thy teeth, old man. As my niece Kate sat by her bedside today, this Elsie slept. And as she slept, she moaned and groaned and turned this way and that way. And how shall I marry one I have never seen, quoth she. Then 100 crowns, quoth she. Then, is it certain he will die in an hour, quoth she. Then, I love him not, and yet I am his wife, quoth she. Is it not so, Kate?
Aye, aunt, 'tis even so.
Art thou sure of all this?
Oh, aye, sir, for I wrote it all down on my tablet.
Now, mark my words. It was of this Fairfax she spake. And he is her husband, or I'll swallow my kirtle.
Is this true, sir?
True, why, the girl was raving. Why should she marry a man who had but an hour to live?
Marry? There be those who would marry but for a minute, rather than die old maids.
Aye, I know one of them.
Stranger!
So, my mysterious bride is no other than this winsome Elsie. By my hand is no such ill plunge into fortune's lucky bag. I might have fared worse with my eyes open. But she comes. Now to test her principles. 'Tis not every husband who has a chance of wooing his own wife. Mistress Elsie!
Master Leonard!
So thou leavest us tonight?
Yes, Master Leonard. I have been kindly tended, and I almost fear I am loath to go.
And this Fairfax, wast thou glad when he escaped?
Why, truly, Master Leonard, it is a sad thing that a young and gallant gentleman should die in the very fullness of his life.
Then when thou didst faint in my arms, it was for joy at his safety.
It may be so. I was highly wrought, Master Leonard. I am but a girl, and so when I am highly wrought, I faint.
Now, dost thou know, I am consumed with a parlous jealousy.
Thou? And of whom?
Why, of this Fairfax, surely.
Of Colonel Fairfax?
Aye. Shall I be frank with thee? Elsie, I love thee ardently, passionately. Elsie, I have loved thee these 2 days, which is a long time, and I would fain join my life to thine.
Master Leonard! Thou art jesting.
Jesting? May I shrivel into raisins if I jest. I love thee with a love that is a fever, with a love that is a frenzy, with a love that eateth up my heart. What sayest thou? Thou wilt not let my heart be eaten up.
Oh, mercy, what am I to say?
Dost thou love me, or hast thou been insensible these 2 days?
I love all brave men.
Nay, that is love in excess. I thank heaven there are many brave men in England, but if thou lovest them all, I withdraw my thanks.
I love the bravest best. But, sir, I may not listen. I am not free. I am a wife.
Thou a wife? Whose? His name? His hours are numbered. Nay, his grave is dug and his epitaph set up. Come, his name.
Oh, sir, keep my secret. It is the only barrier that fate could set up between us. My husband is none other than Colonel Fairfax.
The greatest villain unhung, the most ill-begotten, ill-favored, ill-mannered, ill-natured, ill-omened, ill-tempered dog in Christendom.
It is very like. He is naught to me, for I never saw him. I was blindfolded, and he was to have died within the hour. And he did not die, and I am wedded to him. And my heart is broken.
He was to have died, and he did not die. The scoundrel, the perjured, traitorous villain. Thou shouldst have insisted on his dying first, to make sure. 'Tis the only way with these Fairfaxes.
I now wish I had.
Bloodthirsty little maiden. A fig for this Fairfax. Be mine. He will never know. He dares not show himself. And if he dare, what art thou to him? Fly with me, Elsie. We will be married tomorrow, and thou shalt be the happiest wife in England.
Master Leonard, I am amazed. Is it thus that brave soldiers speak to poor girls? Oh, for shame, for shame. I am wed, not the less because I love not my husband. I am a wife, sir, and I have a duty. And, oh, sir, thy words terrify me. They are not honest. They are wicked words, and unworthy thy great and brave heart. Oh, shame upon me, shame upon me.
Nay, Elsie, I did but jest. I spake but to try thee.
Hark! What was that, sir?
Why, an arquebus fired from the wharf, unless I much mistake.
Strange, and at such an hour. What can it mean?
Danger, danger, danger! Expect what danger is of her! The spirit of the that shot, at once the truth declare. My lord, 'twas I, to rashly judge forbear.
My lord, 'twas he, to rashly judge forbear.
Tell him, Wilfred, tell him.
Like a ghost his vigil keeping.
Or a spectre all appalling.
I beheld a figure creeping.
I should rather call it crawling.
He was creeping.
He was crawling.
He was creeping, creeping.
Crawling.
He was creeping.
He was crawling.
He was creeping, creeping.
Crawling.
Not a moment's hesitation, I myself upon him flung, with a hurried exclamation to me draperies I hung. And we clove one another in a rough and tumble smother. Colonel Fairfax and no other was the man to whom I clung.
Colonel Fairfax and no other, Colonel Fairfax and no other, Colonel Fairfax and no other was the man to whom I clung.
But a mighty tug and tussle.
It resembled more a struggle.
He might into stronger muscle.
Or by some infernal juggle.
From my clutches quick and sliding.
I should rather call it slipping.
With the view no doubt of hiding.
Or escaping to the shipping.
In a gasp and with a quiver.
I describe it as a ship.
But down it dive into the river. And alas, I cannot swim.
It's enough to make a shiver with a gasp and a quiver. Down it dive into the river. It's the scurrying of him.
Ingenuity is catching with the view my king of pleasing of rebuffs from sentry snatching.
I should rather call it seizing.
With an ounce or two of lead, I dispatch him through the head.
With an ounce or two of lead, I dispatch him through the head.
I discharge it without winking. Little time I lost in thinking. Like a stone I saw him sinking.
I just say a lump of lead.
He discharge it without winking. Little time he lost in thinking.
Like a stone I saw him sinking.
I just say a lump of lead.
Like a stone, the boy I said.
Like a heavy lump of lead.
Like a stone, the boy I said.
Like a heavy lump of lead.
Anyhow the man is dead, whether stone or lump of lead.
Anyhow the man is dead, whether stone.
The river must be dragged, no time be lost. The body must be found at any cost. To this attend. Without undue delay, so set to work with what dispatch he may.
Yes, yes, we'll set to work with what dispatch we may.
Come on, gentlemen, come on, boy.
Elsie, sweetheart, be comforted. This Fairfax was but a pestilent fellow. As he had to die, he may as well die thus as any other way. It was a good death.
Still, he was my husband. And had he not been, he was nevertheless a living man. And now he's dead. And so, by your leave, my tears may flow unchidden, Master Point.
And thou didst see all this?
Aye, with both eyes at once. This and that. The testimony of one eye is naught, he may lie, but when it is corroborated by the other, it is good evidence which none may gainsay. Here are both present in court, ready to swear to him.
But art thou sure it was Colonel Fairfax? Saw you his face?
Aye, and a plaguy ill-favoured face too. A very hangdog face, a felon face. A face to fright the headsman himself and make him strike awry. Oh, a plaguy bad face, take my word for it. How they laugh. 'Tis ever thus with simple folk. An accepted wit has but to say, pass the mustard, and they roar their ribs out.
If ever I come to life again, thou shalt pay for this, Master Point.
Now, Elsie, thou art free to choose again. So behold me. I am young and well-favoured. I have a pretty wit. I can jest you, jibe you, quip you, crank you, wreck you, riddle you.
Dash, man, thou know'st not how to woo. 'Tis not to be done with time-worn jests and threadbare sophistries, with quips, conundrums, rhymes, and paradoxes. 'Tis an art in itself, and must be studied gravely and conscientiously.
A man who would woo a fair maid should prentice himself to the trade and study all day in methodical way how to flatter, cajole, and persuade. He should prentice himself at 14 and practice from morning to e'en. And when he's of age, if he will, I'll engage, he may capture the heart of a queen, the heart of a queen.
It is purely a matter of skill, which all we attain if we will. But every Jackie must study the neck if he wants to make sure of his Jill, if he wants to make sure of his Jill.
The best use of his time, his tweet he'll so carefully line, that every bird will come down with his word, whatever its plumage or climb. He must learn that the thrill of a touch may mean little or nothing or much. It's an instrument rare to be handled with care, and ought to be treated as such. Ought to be treated as such.
It is purely a matter of skill, which all may attain if they will. But every Jackie must study the neck if he wants to make sure of his Jill, if he wants to make sure of his Jill.
Then a glance may be timid or free, it will vary in mighty degree, from an impudent stare to a look of despair that no maid without pity can see. And a glance of despair is no guide, it may have its ridiculous side, it may draw you a tear or a box on the ear. You can never be sure till you've tried. Never be sure till you've tried.
It is purely a matter of skill, which all may attain if they will. But every Jackie must study the neck if he wants to make sure of his Jill, if he wants to make sure of his Jill. But every Jack must study the neck, but every Jack must study the neck if he wants to make sure of his Jill. Yes, every Jack must study the neck if he wants to make sure.
Now listen to me. 'Tis done thus. Mistress Elsie, there is one here who, as thou knowest, loves thee right well.
That he does, right well.
He is but a man of poor estate, but he hath a loving, honest heart. He will be a true and trusty husband to thee, and if thou wilt be his wife, thou shalt lie curled up in his heart like a little squirrel in its nest.
Like a little squirrel in its nest. 'Tis a pretty figure. A maggot in a nut lies closer, but a squirrel will do.
He knoweth that thou wast a wife, an unloved and unloving wife, and his poor heart was near to breaking. But now that thine unloving husband is dead, and thou art free, he would fain pray that thou wouldst hearken unto him, and give him hope that thou wouldst be his.
He presses her hands, and he whispers in her ear. Odds bodikins, what does this mean?
Now, sweetheart, tell me, wilt thou be this poor good fellow's wife?
If the good brave man... Is he a brave man?
Oh, so men say.
It's not true, but let it pass.
If this brave man will be content with a poor, penniless, untaught maid...
Widow, but let that pass.
I will be his true and loving wife, and that with my heart of hearts.
My own dear love.
Why, what's all this? Brother... Brother, it is not seemly.
Oh, I can't let that pass. Hold, enough, Master Leonard. An advocate should have his fee, but methinks thou art overpaying thyself.
Nay, that is for Elsie to say. I promised thee I would show thee how to woo, and herein is the proof of the virtue of my teaching. Go thou and apply it elsewhere.
When a wooer goes on wooing, naught is true.
Maiden,
and hushing all his suing, boldly blushing, bravely coy, bravely coy.
Boldly blushing,
boldly blushing,
bravely coy.
Oh, the happy days of doom.
Oh, the happy days of doing.
Oh, the sighing and the suing.
When a brother leaves his sister, or another sister weeps, 'tis but treacle, 'tis the blister, 'tis but meekle sister reaps, 'tis a treacle, 'tis the blister.
Oh, the doing. And undo.
Oh, the doing and undoing. Oh, the sighing and the suing. Where the brother goes a-going. And the sobbing sister weeps.
When a jester is outwitted, feelings fester, heart is led, food for fishes, only fitted, jester wishes he was dead. Food for fishes, only fitted, jester wishes he was dead.
All the doing and undoing, all the sighing and the suing, when the jester is a-loving, and he wishes he
to escape, and I've kept his secret and pretended I was his dearly loving sister and done everything I could think of to make folk believe I was his loving sister. And this is his gratitude. Before I'll pretend to be sister to anybody again, I'll turn nun and be sister to everybody, one as much as another.
In tears, eh? What a plague art thou grizzling for now?
Why am I grizzling? Thou hast often wept for jealousy. Well, it is for jealousy I weep now.
Jealousy?
Aye, yellow, bilious, jaundiced jealousy. So make the most of that, Master Wilfred.
But I have never given thee cause for jealousy. The lieutenant's cookmaid and I are but the merest gossip.
Jealous of thee? Huh. I'm jealous of no craven cock on a hill who crows about what he'd do and he dared.
Aye?
I'm jealous of another and a better man than thou. Set that down, Master Wilfred. And he is to marry Elsie Maynard, a little pale fool. Set that down, Master Wilfred, and my heart is well nigh broken. There, thou hast it all. Make the most of it.
The man thou lovest is to marry Elsie Maynard? Why, that is none other than thy brother, Leonard Merrill.
Mercy, what have I said?
Why, what manner of brother is this, thou lying little jade? Speak, who is this man whom thou hast called brother and fondled and coddled and kissed with my connivance, too? Oh, Lord, with my connivance. Ah, should it be this Fairfax? It is this accursed Fairfax. It's Fairfax, Fairfax.
Whom thou hast just shot through the head and who lies at the bottom of the river.
I may have been mistaken. We are but fallible mortals, the best of us. But I'll make sure.
Stay! Oh, one word. I think it cannot be Fairfax. Mind, I say I think, because thou hast just slain Fairfax.
But whether he be Fairfax or no Fairfax, he's to marry Elsie. And as thou hast shot him through the head and he is dead, be content with that. And I will be thy wife.
Is that sure?
Aye, sure enough, for there's no help for it. Thou art a very brute. But even brutes must marry, I suppose.
Oh, my beloved.
Phoebe!
Leonard!
Phoebe, rejoice, for I bring glad tidings. Colonel Fairfax's reprieve was signed 2 days since, but it was foully and maliciously kept back by Secretary Poultwhistle, who designed that it should arrive after the Colonel's death.
Oh.
It hath just come to hand, and it is now in the Lieutenant's possession.
Then the Colonel is free. Oh, kiss me, my dear. Kiss me again and again.
George, Bob's death of my life. Art thou mad? Am I mad? Are we all mad?
Oh, my dear, I'm well nigh crazed with joy.
Come away from him, thou hussy, thou jade, thou kissing, clinging cockatrice. And as for thee, sir, I'll rip thee like a herring for this. I'll skin thee for it. I'll cleave thee to the gine.
What?
Oh, Phoebe, who is this man?
Peace, fool. He is my brother.
Another brother? Are there any more of them? Produce them all at once and let me know the worst.
This is the real Leonard Dolt. The other one's but his substitute. The real Leonard, I say, my father's own son.
How do I know this? Has he brother writ large on his brow? I mistrust thy brothers.
Fare thee well, Phoebe.
Thou art but a false jade.
Now, Wilfred, be just. Truly, I did deceive thee before. But it was to save a precious life, and to save it not for me, but for another. They are to be wed this very day. Is not this enough for thee? Come. I am thy Phoebe, thy very own. And we will be wed in a year.
Oh.
Or two. Or three, at the most. Is not that enough for thee?
My beloved.
Phoebe! Phoebe! Hast thou heard the brave news?
Aye, father.
I'm nigh mad with joy. Why? What's all this?
Oh, father, he discovered our secret through my folly, and the price of his silence is...
Phoebe's heart.
Oh, dear, no. Phoebe's hand.
It's the same thing.
Is it?
Phoebe! Phoebe!
Tis pity, Phoebe, but the Colonel had to be saved at any cost. And as thy folly revealed our secret, thy folly must e'en suffer for it.
So?
Oh, Dame Carruthers.
This is a plot to shield this arch-fiend, and I have detected it. A word from me, and three heads besides his would roll from their shoulders.
Nay, Colonel Fairfax is reprieved. Yet if my complicity in his escape were known, plague on the old meddler. There's nothing for it. Hush, pretty one.
Oh.
Such bloodthirsty words ill become those cherry lips.
Sergeant Merrill.
Why, look ye, Chuck. For many a month I've thought to myself, there's snug love saving up in that middle-aged bosom for someone, and why not for thee? That's me.
Mm-hmm.
So take heart and tell her, that's thee.
Yes.
That thou, that's me, lovest her, thee, and...
Oh.
And well, I'm a miserable old man that I've done it, and that's me.
Oh.
But not a word about Fairfax. The price of thy silence is...
Merrill's heart.
No, Merrill's hand.
It's the same thing.
Is it?
Thank you.
news, good or ill, it is for thee to sing. My husband lives, and he is free, and comes to claim his bride this very day.
No, no, the call is wet, it cannot be.
Oh,
much ye do. Attend to me and shed a tear or two, for I have a song to sing. Oh,
sing your song.
Sung to the moon by a lovelorn loon who fled from the mocking throng. Oh, it's a song of a merry man, moping mum, whose soul was sad and whose glance was glum, who sipped no sup and who craved no crumb as he sighed for the love of a lady.
That complete performance of The Yeoman of the Guard by W.S. Gilbert and Arthur Sullivan, Sir Richard Cholmondeley was sung by Donald Frankie and spoken by Rolf Lefevre. Colonel Fairfax was sung by Max Worthley and spoken by Dinsdale Landon. Sergeant Merrill was sung by Richard Golding and spoken by Julian Summers. Leonard Merrill was sung by Edgar Fleet and spoken by Michael Spice. Jack Point was played by Peter Pratt. Wilfred Shadbolt was played by Alan Dudley. Elsie Maynard was sung by Janice Chapman and spoken by Sheila Manahan. Phoebe Merrill was sung by Jean Alistair and spoken by Pauline Yates. Dame Carruthers was sung by Monica Sinclair and spoken by Shirley Cooklin. Kate was sung by Ursula Connors and spoken by Denise Buckley. The first yeoman was sung by Leslie Fison. The second yeoman was sung by John Noble. The first citizen was spoken by Wilfred Babbage. The second citizen was spoken by Douglas Hankin. The yeomen of the guard themselves and the people of the City of London were the John McCarthy Singers. You also heard the BBC Concert Orchestra, leader Arthur Levins. The performance was conducted by Stanford Robinson and produced by Michael Moores and Peter Bryant. The next program in this series of complete performances of the Savoy operas will be The Gondoliers, and you can hear that on Sunday, the 12th of June, at 12 noon in the music program.
Jean Alistair, broadcast by permission of Glyndebourne Festival Opera, and Janice Chapman by permission of Sadler's Wells Opera Company. A full costume performance of another Gilbert and Sullivan opera, Trial by Jury, will be broadcast on Saturday week, the 11th of June, at 7:30 in the Home Service, as part of the BBC International Festival of Light Music. The performance will come from the Royal Festival Hall, and if you'd like to go along, tickets are still available. That's Trial by Jury, on the 11th of June, at 7:30 in the Home Service, coming from the Royal Festival Hall.